It's mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County. Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We don't have an office. We have no paid staff. We all work out of our houses. And what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or someone they know or work with or are friends with who have a mental health issue, and also someone who may have an issue, a mental health issue, get the right treatment that they need. We do this in many ways. We run a support group the third Thursday of every month in Flemington at 7 to 8:30 at 52 East Main Street. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to come. Everything is totally confidential. We also have what they call a family-to-family class, which is a 12-week course, which gets the person taking the course to feel what it's like being the person with the illness. And again, you don't have to be a member of NAMI to join. You do have to register for the class, but you don't have to be, you know, a member of NAMI. If you have any questions, you can reach out to me or one of the members who will answer at 908-284-0500. We don't have someone man the phone 24/7, but we do have a lady who checks it 2 to 3 times a day, and we promise you we will get back to you. That's 908-284-0500. Today we are very privileged to have with us Michelle Hammer, who has a company called Schizophrenic NYC. Michelle, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
It's funny. I met Michelle at a presentation she was doing for the Somerville, New Jersey chapter of NAMI. And I know she told me that after she was so very nervous, but I said she did such an awesome job. And I meant it. You did an awesome job.
Thank you so much.
And you do any more of that type of thing? At speeches for groups and stuff?
Most recently I was at Fountain House in New York City. I gave a speech there. It was absolutely so much fun. Met a bunch of really cool people with really interesting stories, and it was really great hearing everything. It was a musician, there was peer counselors and everything, and it was really, really great to meet everybody there, and I'm getting connected with all kinds of different people, and it's really been a fun ride the entire thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, and I noticed that I went on your website the other day, and I noticed that you've got a lot of interesting T-shirts and things that you sell.
Yes.
How did
I do?
Did you draw them all up, or?
Yes, I made everything on my website. I studied graphic design and web design at college, and then when I wanted to make like an idea, coming up with a clothing line, coming up with everything, I did everything myself. I made my website. I did all the designs. The only thing I don't do is the actual printing of the shirt. I have my girl for that, and she does a great job, and I'm really proud of that.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you.
We'll get back to that in just a second, okay, or a couple minutes.
Okay.
At what age did you first become aware that you had a mental health problem?
At what age did I become aware? I mean, I think things started to pop up somewhere in the high school where I kind of stopped doing any homework, and I really didn't think I would graduate high school because I thought that I'd be killing myself before the end of high school. But I would say, yeah, definitely about high school is where it totally did kind of pop up, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, people tried to help. I know my mother tried to help and everything like that. But, you know, when you're paranoid, keeping a paranoid schizophrenic, and you think everyone that's trying to help you is actually trying to hurt you. So I really just didn't accept any help.
Right.
Because, you know, paranoia. So I do realize now if I had accepted help, I would have gotten help a lot sooner, but that's not something I was willing to do at that moment. Yeah, but I mean, then I was diagnosed with bipolar at 18 and then schizophrenia at 22.
What were some of the signs that you noticed or that your parents or friends noticed?
Well, I was really, 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 really paranoid, and I really thought everybody was talking about me, everything like that, and I thought people were out to get me. I really just believed people were trying to hurt me, mostly. I really think everybody had it out, and I thought that absolutely everybody hated me, everyone. When that really wasn't true, it really just all in my head.
Yeah, I know that for a fact because of we have four children, and my youngest son is paranoid schizophrenic. And he, like you, is considered a success story, so that's a good thing, you know. He has celebrated this month he'll celebrate his fourth year at working at BJ's. He's had his own apartment for about 7 years now, and he volunteers one day a week at the hospital. And, he's at the hospital, everybody knows him, and he knows them, and he's considered a success story, so you enjoy the good days, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. Enjoy the good days. Do whatever you can to enjoy the good days and try not to let people bring you down, even though
Everyone's
trying to bring you down somewhere. You know, you always think somebody's trying to bring you down.
Right. Were you ever hospitalized?
Yeah, I was hospitalized three times, twice for suicide and twice for suicidal tendencies. And they're definitely not fun times. I would recommend you don't end up in a hospital, but I mean, don't do anything that gets you into a hospital, because it is not a fun place to be, really. It's not fun, but they do actually really do help you there. They help you kind of try to find out, you know, what are the red flags, what are the triggers, everything like that. It was helpful, but I did have to go three times before I actually did get real help.
Right.
I wasn't officially diagnosed until I was 22, and the last time I was in a hospital was when I was 19. So that kind of shows you how much they really actually helped, which is none.
Right.
You know, a little bit.
Well, I know my son spent almost 3 years hospitalized in state hospitals.
Yeah, that's very different, yeah.
And, when he got out, he was in and out of the hospital more times than we care to count, you know. But, like I said, thank God he's doing very well right now.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad he's doing really well right now. You don't hear good stories usually, but when there are the great stories, those are the stories that need to be shared.
Right, exactly. Do you have people around you there?
There's people all around everywhere where I am.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I must say that my apartment's getting fumigated, so I had to get out of there.
Ah, okay.
Sorry, I'm busy. I apologize.
That's all right. Are you on a cell phone now, or are you on a home phone? Okay. When you were hospitalized, how long were you in there?
The first one was just like a day because when I got this advice from somebody in the psych ward, and she said to me, you know, you can get out of here as fast as possible if you just tell them what they want to hear, which is the best worst advice I ever got.
Yes, exactly.
The doctor said, why don't you do what you did last night before you had a suicide attempt? And I go, oh, no, I've never felt depressed before. I've never done anything like that. I must have just been drinking. I don't ever feel like that ever. So I was out of there the next day. But then the second time, they were like, okay, obviously that's not true. So you're going to stay for, I think that was, I don't know, a few days. And then there was another one that was, 6 days.
Right.
Just even 6 days is torture. It's so boring. You see the little group therapy, which is helpful, but so basically you just do nothing there. They don't let you. Maybe I just went to the most boring hospital. I don't really know, but it's painfully boring. And you just sit and reflect on why you're there and how you'll make it so you'll never be there again.
Well, I think that a lot of it. I personally think, from 20 years of dealing with my son, that it depends on the hospital. You know, I think that everybody says, oh, you know, Trenton Psych, that's the state, one of the state hospitals he was in for almost 20 months. And everybody says how terrible it is. Well, his experience was very good there. Now, whether it was because I worked crazy shifts and I could go like in the morning or in the early afternoon, my wife would come at night, you know, so maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. Because there were people there who nobody went and visited him, ever. And, you know, and he had people come 3-4 times a week. And on the weekends we went together, you know. And so that may have had something to do with it. And at the time in Jersey, Governor Whitman was the governor. And she said, if you have a mental health hospital in your county, you get transferred there. So they transferred him to Hagedorn, which is it was in Hunterdon County. It has since been closed. But he was there for about 11 months. And, you know, so he was hospitalized continuously almost 3 years. And
well, how did he think of it? How did he deal with that? Was he like, really depressed in there? Did it help him in there? How did he, like, handle that?
Well, the first, I want to say, almost year, he was so paranoid, it was, you know, like, unbelievable. And, you know, he had very much suicidal thoughts and all that. And the voices in his head, we later found out, he later told us, was his two brothers and sister and his mother and father. And they were telling him, I'm going to clean it up a little bit because we're on the air, but they were telling him he wasn't worth a damn and go kill himself and, you know, that sort of thing. So after about a year being there, it was totally different because it calmed down a little bit, you know. And they had some good psychiatrists there, I have to admit. And and even at Hagedorn, which I don't know why they, well, I know why they closed it, but they didn't close it. It was one of the, Hagedorn in New Jersey was the, how can I say it, made more money than any other state hospital in the state, and they closed that and kept others open where the population was higher. So, you know, go figure. But he did very well there also. And, you know, he tried to tell them what they wanted to hear until one of the psychiatrists slammed her hand down on the table and said, if you want to get out of here before your beard reaches your toes, I'm the only one that can sign the release. So quit BSing and tell the truth. And
that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
But that's what she said. I was there. We were there in a meeting, and that's what she said, you know. So
that's, I mean, that's a good doctor then. That's a much better doctor than what I had.
Absolutely. She was terrific, you know.
I was going to totally believe my nonsense.
Right. We have to take a quick commercial break, Michelle, so we will be back in just a couple minutes.
Okay,
all right? Hang
good.
On there.
Yep.
Don't hang up.
Okay.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Mm-hmm. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody up!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We're privileged today to have with us Michelle Hammer, and she has an organization called Schizophrenic New York, NYC, actually, New York City, I guess it stands for, I would think, since you're in New York City.
Yeah. That's right.
That's a great deduction on my part, huh?
It is. You're a smart man.
Yeah, exactly. Don't tell my wife that, because she has other things to say about it, you know. But anyway, now, my son's illness, like I said, he's now very good, and it's all under control and everything. But back then, it would be better, and then it'd crash. It'd be better, then it'd crash. Did you have the same problem?
I used to not take my medicine regularly when I was in college. I would skip a lot of doses, and then things would go up and down a lot. But in college, I had my lacrosse coach. I was on the lacrosse team, and she would often say to me that she could tell within about, 3 seconds whether I took my medication or not. So having her there kind of just watching over me was very, very, very helpful. She was pretty much on me all the time, so she could tell very, very quickly. So,
right.
I mean, it's not that she was really on me all the time, forcing me to take my medicine, but just having her there, knowing that she was somebody looking out, you know, was very helpful to me.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so having her do that, because at first, my senior year, I was not like the captain of the lacrosse team, but I think at one point I said, you know, I got this, I'm just going to take my medicine, I'm going to take it regularly, and I'm going to be okay. And once I started doing that, once it got to be, you know, the start of the season, I get, you know, I'm holding my coach's office, the coach there, they shut the door, I start freaking out, all in my head I start thinking, apologize, whatever I did, just apologize, and they go, this has been a bad conversation, I go, okay, and I'm freaking out, and they go, so we were wondering if you wanted to be captain this season, I go, what? And they're like, yeah, you want to be captain, and I was like, okay, because they were like, we've seen the change in you, and we think you're acting really great. And I was like, wow, so, you know, taking my medicine actually did do something great for me.
Right.
So I guess that's when I saw that, you know, there really was a benefit.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, sometimes when you don't take your meds and you just leave it and you don't take it, the paranoia starts to just roll in and you start thinking you don't need it whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. So that was a big help, really.
I would think.
Definitely. Yeah, that's something that really helped me with, I guess, taking meds and things like that.
But, mm-hmm. When you were in high school, did you see a school therapist or not?
No, I refused to talk to anybody when I was in high school because I was so paranoid. My mom brought me to many people, but I didn't do any of that. I refused.
Okay.
I should have, but I didn't. So they say to you that, they always say that, you know, you can say anything to me that you want, but if you're trying to hurt yourself or somebody else, you have to tell your mother. And since I was so paranoid about my mother, I would just not say anything.
Right.
When really, I should have seen the giant red flag that if I'm thinking about hurting myself or other people, that's a huge red flag and I should have seen something right there.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know.
Yeah, in retrospect, you know.
You look back on it and you say, okay, I was what, 17, 16, 17, 18, whatever. You know, the red flag may have come up when you were 21 or 22, but not so much at 18, because at 18 you're trying to say, well, this is, you know, BS, I don't need to deal with this, you know, and so.
Yeah, and even younger than that. You know?
Right, exactly, you know, so.
It's not easy getting diagnosed when you're paranoid.
No, that's true. That's true.
How did you diagnose your son?
Well, he was diagnosed, he went to the local hospital here, and he was, after he attempted suicide the second time, and they had him there for a couple of days, and they transferred him to a carrier clinic, which is like a local place. He was there 28 days, and my insurance ran out, and they saw that he was so paranoid that he couldn't, you know, go on his own, so they transferred him to the state hospital. And, you know, that's how he got diagnosed and everything. So, you know.
It's hard. It's not easy getting diagnosed. It's a hard thing. Even, like I said, like I was diagnosed with bipolar first, but that was obviously incorrect, and I think when I first went to the doctor when I was 18, when I realized that something wasn't right, I just went there and I wanted help as soon as fast as possible. And when I was getting when the doctor went down like a checklist, I was just saying yes to things so that I could get a diagnosis and get help, and I didn't know what I was saying yes to. I was saying no to. I just wanted help, and I didn't want him to deny me help. And he was like, at the end of the appointment, he was like, okay, so I think you're bipolar. Here's a pamphlet, and we'll get you a prescription. We'll get you with a school psychiatrist as fast as possible. Like that, but that was not helpful. Handing a girl a pamphlet is not helpful. Doing the pamphlet is full of information of how your life is going to be over.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's a really scary thing to get diagnosed, and it's almost like you need like somebody to lean on when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think my partner has a question for you.
Okay.
Okay. So, how did you come up with the idea for your business?
The idea? Well, I've been working in the graphic and web design field in New York City. I have had over 15 jobs. Working for other people wasn't really working out, and I wanted to start my own business, and I was thinking of all kinds of different things, different artwork I've made, and I came up with this idea with the Rorschach test, and the whole idea is, you know, when the typical person looks at a plain black Rorschach test, they see it from kind of a different perspective, by switching up the patterns and the colors. Not everyone's forced to look at it from a different perspective, getting you to think differently and start a discussion. Because once your discussion, can you try to reduce or end stigma? So the whole thing is that if we only talk about mental health more, then we can try to reduce the stigma that's going on, because it's only if you have an open dialogue, people will talk about it. If no one's talking about it, then the stigma's just going to keep growing just exponentially. So it kind of snowballed from there. I just wanted to start conversations that nobody was having.
Right.
I wanted to see the person behind it, because how many people in the city do you see that are schizophrenic and talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
So you see the homeless people who are schizophrenic, but I wanted to be that person with schizophrenia and showing people that I live well with schizophrenia and I'm doing okay, and that this is what I'm doing, and anyone can talk to me.
Right.
A lot of people at my pop-up shop, when I tell them that I'm schizophrenic, they open up to me, and they're either telling me that they have a mental illness, a friend has a mental illness, a family member has a mental illness. So if everybody is connected to mental illness, why is there so much stigma? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, well, when you stop and think about it, you know, if, like I would say where I give presentations or give talks, if my son had cancer everybody go, oh, Larry, how sad, and they bring over food, and they do this. Can we help you? Can we take you to the doctor? Blah, 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 blah. You say that he's paranoid schizophrenic, everybody takes two steps back and doesn't want to talk to you. So, you know, it's, and that's why NAMI is trying to break that stigma. We've come a ways, but not far enough yet, so.
Talk about it. It's taboo.
No one wants to talk about it. So, you know.
Nobody wants to talk about
it. Can you hear my partner? Michelle, can you hear my partner?
I can't, no.
Okay. All right, we'll have to work on the microphones here.
Okay. Anyway, I saw your... I have to tell you, I really like the phrase you have on one of your items, or it could be on a couple of them, but I saw it on one. It says, don't be paranoid, you look great.
Yeah, don't be paranoid, you look great. Yeah.
How did you come up with that?
Well, okay, first that was just my tagline. Like, you know, it's the clothing, don't be paranoid, you look great, it's schizophrenia. But everybody thought that that was so funny that they wanted it to be, they wanted it to be on, like, a clothing. So I was like, okay, let me just put it on the shirt. And then people just started loving the shirt. That's really just, it really just came about.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I just came up with it.
Right. That's interesting, you know, because I happen to think it's cool, you know, personally.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, do you, you do this on a street or... Do you have a building you do it in, or what?
Well, I sell online at schizophrenic.nyc, and then I'm trying to pop up this summer on outside the Fountain House Gallery. That's my plan for this summer.
To do what on the summer now? I couldn't get it.
To pop up in front of the Fountain House Gallery this summer. And
okay.
And pop up there on 49th and 8th.
Oh, okay. Do you need a permit to do that or anything?
I think I'm just going to do it with the gallery and get a deal with them.
Oh, okay. Now, aside from, like, T-shirts, what else do you sell?
Oh, also besides some T-shirts, I sell tons of stuff. I make leggings out of my artwork. I mean, I sell my artwork as well. Buttons, magnets, bracelets.
Oh, okay.
Tank tops, t-shirts, sweaters. I'm trying to think of everything right now on my head. I can't even think of it. Oh,
okay.
Sunglasses that are really cool.
Sunglasses?
Pillboxes.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you said sunglasses. Yeah.
No, pillboxes. Really cool pillboxes with my artwork on them, and they're completely original. You can't get them anywhere else. They're really, really, really cool.
Yeah, that's... So you come up with all this. I mean, it's pretty much all your idea, right?
It's completely 100% my idea.
Well, my partner is having trouble with her mic, so I'm going to let her use mine for a second. So sound you hear is me moving the mic.
Thank you. So, Michelle, for the spring and the summer, then, do you have a lot of plans to be out in New York City to do these pop-up shows, or is it just one or two?
Well, I'm going to try to pop up in front of the Fountain House Gallery on 49th and 7th this summer, yeah.
Oh, so you'll be there almost every weekend?
That's the plan.
What is the name of the gallery again?
Fountain House Gallery.
So it's on 49th and 7th.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. And do you find that when people first meet you and they hear your story, they seem a little nervous? Do you have to sort of overcome their fear? Or?
I don't think they're nervous. I think they're always surprised. They're like, oh, you're schizophrenic and this is your business? And I'm like, oh, yeah. This is my business. Yes, I'm schizophrenic. What's the big deal, you know?
Right.
But I think everybody gets it because everybody has a connection. One in five New Yorkers has a mental health issue, so, you know, everybody has a connection.
Right. So you definitely feel in your own way that you're helping to erase the stigma a little bit, right? I mean, it must be rewarding.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Absolutely.
Right. Okay. How do people find out more about you and your business? You have a Facebook page, right?
Yeah, Facebook.com/schizophrenicNYC. You can go to my website, schizophrenicNYC. Instagram,
okay.
schizophrenic.nyc. Twitter, schizophrenicNY. But really, my website, schizophrenic.nyc, or Instagram, schizophrenic.nyc, that's the best place to get in touch with me.
Okay, just repeating that, Schizophrenic NYC. Okay, now have you done media appearances? Have you been on television or radio at all, been interviewed?
Some radio, not really any television stuff. I was in a WebMD video that has like 160,000 views on YouTube and stuff like that. I was nominated for a Tribeca X Award in the Tribeca Film Festival.
Ah.
That was pretty awesome.
So do you what do you see as your plans for the next 2-3 years going forward in terms of your business and helping?
I think just keep growing the business, keep mm-hmm. making speeches, just keep growing, keep getting bigger, keep working on my podcast. I have a podcast with Steve Howard called The Bipolar Schizophrenic and a podcast.
Oh.
Everybody should really check it out. It's really cool. It's just, you know, fine with people with mental illness or people with mental illness. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, the podcast. Now, when they're coming off through your website, correct?
You can catch it on my website, or you can catch it on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are made.
And it's all under the name then would be Schizophrenic NYC to find your podcast?
No, it's called The Bipolar Schizophrenic and a Podcast.
Okay, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? It's called The Bipolar?
A Bipolar a Schizophrenic and a Podcast.
Okay, and how often do you do these podcasts?
They're once a week. Every Monday they come out.
Every Monday they come out. What time?
Yeah.
They're live then, so I'm assuming.
They're not live, no.
They're not live. Okay. I see. Okay. So they come out on Monday afternoons or something like that, or Monday mornings?
Monday mornings they release, yeah.
Oh, wow. And so tell us what you talk about on your podcast some.
We talk about absolutely anything you could possibly imagine that relates to mental illness. We talked about, like, this week, it's, like, about warning signs, basically things that happen in our lives that, like, how did we not realize we had a mental illness way before being diagnosed? We talked about, like, past relationships dating with the mental illness, things like that. Sometimes we play Two Truths and a Lie, where we share stories about, like, things we've done because of our mental illness or crazy stories like that. We can guess which ones that are true, which ones are lies. Those are fun games like there. We talked about group therapy. We talked about so many things I don't even know. We talked about so many things I can't even think. We talked about getting triggered by movies, how like movies display mental illness, like how to tell your friends or loved ones about your mental health interests. Your interest in mental illness, discussing feelings of loneliness, you know, bizarre questions psychiatrists and therapists have asked you, you know, self-sabotage, psych meds, you know, can you actually recover from bipolar schizophrenia, stuff like that.
And how did you get involved with the podcast? I mean, was that something that you just thought you'd do or whatever?
Well, I connected with Gabe Howard. I met him through the Healthy Voices Conference, and we just got started talking. He has another podcast, and he just said, hey, let's start a podcast, and we're just going to talk about things that go on in our lives, living the daily life with mental illness and what it's actually like to just live with a mental illness and go through a regular life. And people are really responding to it because people can really relate to it, and it's been going really, really well.
Yeah, I can understand people relating, you know, that I understand perfectly. You know, we've been doing this radio show now, well, it started in September 2011, and so we've been doing it ever since, and and I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but we did get 2 awards, which I'm very
nice.
Proud of.
Good for you. Good for you. Congratulations.
You know, the governor's committee on... Stigma gave us an award, which I thought was awesome. And, you know, so like I said, it's if we can just get the word out to people. And, you know, I'm sure you've probably been asked this also, but people say to me, Larry, why do you do all you do? I mean, you're retired, you know, yada, yada. And my answer is, if I can help one person, then it makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
And, you know, one person, if you can help, hey, you know, if I can stop one person from going, or one family from going through the hell my wife and I went through for at least 12 years before it even started to get better, you know, I'll keep doing it till I grab my last breath, you know. It's just the way it is, you know. And I think you're doing it for the same reason.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Make a difference. Just make a difference.
Right. And, you know, like you said, it makes a difference. And, you know, your items that you sell, I think is awesome, you know.
Thank you so much.
Because I think your artistic skills are great, you know.
Thank you.
I can't draw a line with a ruler, you know, so, you know, I really appreciate people who have artistic skills, because I sure don't, you know, by any stretch. But
Michelle, do you work as a graphic artist also, a freelance graphic artist?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is, would you consider this, your Schizophrenic NYC, your side business or your main focus?
My main focus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. But then again, the other, you know, part-time thing, you know,
keeps you busy.
Keeps you paying the rent, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. We do need things to pay the rent, so yeah, I'm all for it, you know.
Maybe we'll jump back to the podcast for a second here. How long do they usually run?
About 25 to 30 minutes.
Okay. And I just want to be clear, people can call in during the podcast or text you online or what?
No, we have like an email, show@central.com. You can email us questions.
Okay.
And then you can answer them if you want to.
Okay. And now, do you also interview doctors or other people too, or are you the primary person?
We're primary.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
You haven't interviewed her yet.
Well, if you ever want to reverse the tables and interview me, you can do that.
That might be a good idea.
I'm serious. If I can help you in any way, you know, that don't hesitate.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, maybe that might be a good idea. I think that's a
good idea.
You know. Have some fun with that.
There you go. We have to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Hang in there.
Help make your community safer. Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers is a community-based program aimed at making our community safer by providing an avenue for citizens to anonymously report criminal activity. It provides monetary rewards if the information leads to an arrest and indictment. See something, say something, and get cash for your anonymous tip. Call or text 1-800-321-0010 or go online to www.crimestoppershunterdon.com.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And we're very privileged today to have with us Michelle Hammer, who has...
Hello!
Hi, how are you, Michelle? We're back. And Michelle has a company called Schizophrenic NYC, and she does a podcast also, which we found out about. And I tell you, like I said before, the phrase that you have on... the one T-shirt, don't be paranoid, you look great, I think is awesome. And you ought to patent that one.
I should, yes, I think I'm going to. Sorry, yes. Back that up.
I'm serious, you know, I'm not kidding.
Copyright it.
I know, you're right, I will. I'm going to, as soon as possible.
All right, Tracy has a couple questions she'd like to ask you, so I'm going to let her go ahead and do it.
Okay. Great. Michelle, what would you say is maybe the best advice you've ever gotten about your illness, or some really good advice that somebody once said to you?
Some really good advice somebody once said to me?
Yes, about your illness.
I've gotten no good advice about my illness. None. Honestly, nothing.
No good advice. Okay.
None. I've gotten none.
That's interesting. You know. You would think that you would have gotten something, you know, but, you know, that's interesting.
How about advice maybe that you would give to someone else who's going through?
What I would give to someone else? I would say that your life is not over. A schizophrenia diagnosis does not mean that you can't live well in the world. It just means that now you're going to get, you can get treated the right way and you can get medicated the right way to help you live a perfectly normal, successful life.
Yeah, you know, I heard a phrase not too awful long ago. It said something to the effect, and I'm not going to have it, it's not verbatim, but it's close. It says, look at the person, not the illness. And
yeah.
I think that is, because I don't care what mental illness you have, there is a person under that, you know. And I think that you have to look at the person and not just look at the illness, you know, because the person didn't ask to have, you didn't ask to be schizophrenic. My son didn't ask for it. You know, the thousands and thousands and thousands of other people that have it didn't ask for it. You know, so it's, like I said, there's a person under there and, you know, that's who we should look at, you know. So, go ahead, Tracy, you got another one.
All right, Michelle, how do you get through hard days now? Is the medication enough, or is therapy important, or do you have other coping skills?
Oh, I mean, therapy and medication are good things, but getting through days is really just, you know, having good friends, you know, good people to talk to, having good friends and people that care about you, that are with you, is really helpful, knowing you're not alone in the world.
Do you have family that help you?
Yeah.
That's good, too.
And what about, are you part of any support group for other people who have schizophrenia or not?
Yeah, I'm a member at Fountain House in the city, so Fountain House is a really great place. It's a really good call out to mental illness, and I like to go there a lot. You know, be part
the
of,
Fountain
like,
House.
We're the, like, the sections of the, you know, clubhouse, and it's fun to hang out there and be with like-minded people and everything like that.
Yeah, I get pamphlets and letters asking for donations from Fountain House. you know, and I do donate to it. So,
good. Yay.
Yeah.
Do you think enough is being done on the mental health front to help people who are suffering?
Well, I think more has to be done really with health care. I think health care really needs to step it up. You know, Medicare and Medicaid, and a lot of people with Medicaid, you know, they can't get married, but they'll lose their, you know, their benefits. I mean, how can you tell people that they can't get married if they make over another $400 a month, they'll lose their health insurance? But that's not cool. You know, you're kind of stuck in the middle. You're either asking if you're broke or you have to be super rich. If you're not either of those things, you're having no health insurance and you get nothing.
It is kind of ironic, isn't it, that if you're broke, you're probably going to get better services than if you're middle class.
Exactly, and I think that's what really needs to be figured out, because a lot of things aren't really fair in the world when you talk about health insurance and people getting help when they can't get help. You know, when I was younger, when I went to college and I thought I needed help, I got an appointment the next day with a counselor. People in the city a lot of times, they'll call for help, try to see a doctor, and they can't for weeks or months. So, like, healthcare really needs to be improved, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, we only have a couple minutes left, and what are some questions maybe you wish we had asked you or you would like to talk more about?
I don't know. I feel like there should be more support. Everybody just really needs more support for everybody around them. A lot of people, I think, can just, I don't know.
They feel alone, too alone? No, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to feel alone or when you're going through this.
Yeah.
And
it's great that you have the support that you do. It's obviously so important.
And there's a lot of people who either their family has disowned them, don't want to deal with them, or they don't have family or friends or anyone. Over the years, I've run across quite a few of people like that. And it's a shame, because when you have a support group to help you, I'm not saying it makes it easier, but it certainly takes some of the stress away. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
You know, because those that don't have it, they have nobody to turn to. You know, and as much as we may not want to turn to our family or whatever, if you have friends, you know, like you said, Fountain House, that's great, you know? They help people. And there's a lot of organizations out there like that. There's just not enough of them, you know? And unfortunately, that's sad, but that's the way it is, you know? Do you have any upcoming events in the near future that you're going to do?
I don't have anything upcoming right now. I just know that I'm going to Texas on the 11th for the Healthy Voices Conference that I'm very excited about.
You're going to Texas for what conference?
The Healthy Voices Conference.
Oh, okay.
Healthy Voices. Oh, wow. Fantastic.
That sounds great. Where in Texas?
Dallas.
Oh, all right. Well, you can go to Fort Worth, because that's only a short distance away.
Maybe.
They almost touch. Mm-hmm.
So you'll be one of the speakers there at the conference, I'm assuming, then?
I'm going to be running one of the sessions, afterwards.
Okay.
That's great.
What is your session going to be titled? What are you?
Me and Gabe are going to talk about advanced podcasting.
Oh, advanced podcasting.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
So you obviously... Podcasting is a great way to really help get the message out there.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you finding that a lot of the people who are listening on the podcast are younger? Or is there a demographic there? Like, older people they don't know how to tune in or that kind of thing?
All kinds, all different ages.
Okay.
All different ages.
Mm-hmm.
They're not technically challenged like me?
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm technically challenged. I still have a flip phone because I don't know what to do with any other kind. You know?
Gotcha.
You know, so, but anyway, no, I think that's great. If I can ask, how did they reach out to you about that? How did they find out about you?
Well, I've attended the previous 2 years, so that's how.
Mm-hmm. So for anybody who's listening who doesn't understand that much about Healthy Voices, what would you say? I mean,
it's a really great advocacy conference that Janssen Pharmaceuticals puts on. They guide and find all kinds of advocates of all different kinds of illnesses from, you know, that people have around, like, the country, and every advocate and therapy they bring together. And it's really cool. It's really a fun place to meet people.
And the whole idea of the voices being healthy is sort of goes against what most people think of in terms of voices for schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
It's about, you know, advocacy voices speaking up.
Uh-huh. I got it. Okay. Right.
And when is this conference then?
The 11th to the 14th, I think. 11th to the 13th, I can't remember.
Of April?
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. You're going to put that on your podcast, right?
Yeah.
I would, definitely. Why not? You know? Have you gotten any new items that you put up for sale? And then my next question is, how would somebody go about ordering some items?
Well, I put up some new leggings and some new buttons, but if you want to go about ordering anything, just go to schizophrenic.nyc and check out what I have and make a purchase. Totally awesome. Awesome stuff.
Do you have sizes for men?
Yes, I do. Men and women, yep.
Okay. So you guys out there that are listening, you don't have to be, you know, don't be ashamed. You can go get one of these. They're great T-shirts, I got to tell you. You know, I'm not into wearing earrings and stuff like that, so it's, you know, that's a woman's side. But me, I like the T-shirts. I think they're cool, you know. Do you have any new ones coming out?
Not at the moment, but we'll see.
Okay.
Well, it's a great way to exercise your creativity, really.
Yeah.
Coming up with new ideas, and you don't have to do it for another client. You're doing it for yourself, really.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's awesome because you're helping yourself along with other people. You know, I'm sure that when you're doing your artistic work or, you know, doing, you know, it helps you. I would think.
Yes, it definitely does.
Right.
I get a lot. I do really enjoy it. Whenever I make a sale, I get very excited every single time. It makes me really happy.
Well, right. That's awesome.
It's your art. It's one form of your art. Your self-expression, right?
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
If you could tell us what your Facebook page is and if there's a phone number that people could reach out to you if you want to give it, if not, just a Facebook page.
Or an email address, whatever.
Or, an email address.
However you want people to contact you.
You can just check out my Instagram, schizophrenicnyc, or facebook.com/schizophrenicnyc, or hit up schizophrenicnyc. You can email me at info@schizophrenic.nyc.
Okay.
And, you know, just find me, get in touch, do whatever you need to do. I'm there.
Right. Have you heard from people, you know, all over the country, all over the world? What kind of...
All over the country and all over the world, yeah.
That's
really?
Awesome.
Wow.
That's great.
Really awesome. Yeah. I recently just sent something to Belgium. First time, Belgium.
Yeah.
Wow. That's exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
They must have saw that T-shirt. Don't be paranoid. You look great.
Yeah.
Michelle, I can't thank you enough for taking the time of your busy schedule to come and talk to us.
No problem.
Thank you, Michelle.
You will be back. I will reach out to you again down the road. You know.
Okay, will do.
And,
okay.
You know, like I said, if you want somebody to stutter on your podcast, just call me.
Okay, we'll do.
You have my email address, right?
Yes, I do.
All right.
All right, and good luck in Texas next.
Yes,
month?
Good luck in Texas.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
And we'll reach out to you down the road to come back on again, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right, God bless. Take care.
God bless. Bye.
Bye. We'll see you again next week, same time, same station. Remember, folks, mental health does matter. See you then.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
In a joint appearance with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House, President Trump strongly condemned the deadly rocket attack on a residential community just north of Tel Aviv. The president blamed Hamas for the rocket attack that came from Gaza and says the United States and our commitment to Israel remain strong.
Under my administration, the unbreakable alliance between the United States and Israel has never been stronger.
Democrats are still not ready to move on, even after Attorney General William Barr released the principal conclusions from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's completed probe, which show that President Trump did not work with Russia to sway the 2016 presidential election. New York Democratic Congressman Jerry Nadler says until the full report is out, no conclusions can be made.
We have to see the Mueller report. We have to see all the evidence behind it. I certainly don't trust Attorney General Barr's summary of it.
USA Radio News.
At Robert Half, we know finding the right employees is a job in itself, and it's a job we love. You see, Robert Half isn't just a staffing firm. We're people. People who believe in finding the right people to fit your company's needs. Because employees who are a good fit are more productive, more engaged. Finding a great candidate isn't easy, but at Robert Half, we know it's possible. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank member FDIC.
The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee wants to scrutinize the FBI and Justice Department now that the Mueller-Russia probe is over.
What happens next is that I have been talking since 2017, the end of 2017, about the other side of the story.
Talking today on Capitol Hill, South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham says there are numerous questions about the handling of Hillary Clinton's email investigation and the early stages of the Russia investigation as well.
What makes no sense to me is all the abuse by the Department of Justice and the FBI, the unprofessional conduct, the shady behavior.
The stranded Norway cruise ship is back to port after losing power in the Norwegian Sea. Passenger and California resident Gina explains to NBC News what the rescue operation was like.
Next thing you know, you're jerked off the deck and we're out here and the helicopter's over there because the wind's blowing like crazy.
Other passengers on the ship said they were expecting the worst. This is USA Radio News.
Mike Lindell, the creator of MyPillow, is a sleep genius. He creates things to make your night sleep better. He created the new Giza Dreams bed sheets. He started by using the world's best cotton grown in the Mediterranean, and it's ultra-soft, breathable, and extremely durable. Now, if you go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA when you click on the Giza Dream Sheet Special, you get 30% off and free shipping. 30% off and free shipping when you go to MyPillow.com.